Praise you, Lord Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 24, and let's look at this verse again. Being election day, this is a pretty applicable passage. Psalm 24. Now let's start reading in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? In other words, when this was written, nobody could. It's interesting. Moses met God up on top of the mountain. Elijah met God up on top of the mountain. And now David's saying, who is qualified to go up the hill? Who's qualified to go meet with God? But of course, this is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Who shall stand in his holy place? In other words, in the natural, you're not qualified. We're not qualified as natural human beings. But he says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Do you know who was qualified for this verse when David wrote it? Nobody. Nobody was qualified. Because you don't get a pure heart until you're born again. And you don't get clean hands until you start renewing your mind by the Word to know what happened to you when you were born again. So he says, he that has clean hands, walking in holiness, has a pure heart, they've been born again. It says, who has not lifted up his soul in the vanity, that's pride, nor sworn deceitfully, in other words, that's a lack of integrity. He, say that's me. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness, the righteous nature of Jesus himself from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Let's stop right there for just a minute. We start talking about this. Most people, when they get saved, are seeking God's hand. God, I'm in trouble. God, I have needs. God, I want to see you move. God, you know, what can you do in my life? I remember when I first got saved. The night I got saved, I said, God, I need help. I need help with the drugs, the alcohol, all the other stuff that goes with it. I need help. And it was gone. Instantly gone. Other people, it takes a little longer. But me, it was, I said, God, I need help. And it was there no more. And it's never returned. Did you say it for you like that?
Cigarettes.
It was just, I think we laid hands on Take you a few times for that.
Several times. I had to battle. Huh? I had to battle some devils on that.
Amen.
Yeah, I did.
It's those that, when you first say you seek his hand, in other words, what can he do for you? But there should be a transition as you move into the Word. Your mind's renewed. You find who he is, that you seek his face. And seeking the face is the place of relationship. It doesn't even become, God, what can you do for me? It's, God, what would you have me do? Do you follow me? God, spend time with me. Can I spend time with you? You look forward to fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I love driving with the Holy Spirit. I love riding the motorcycle with the Holy Spirit. I invite the Spirit of God, get on back. He says, oh, I want to drive. So I just do like this, go ahead. Then I do like it. Anyway, Spirit of God will get on a motorcycle with me. He'll get in a car with you. What are you doing if you'll invite him in relationship, wanting to know his face, to spend time with you? If you could care less, he's not going to bother. You have to want it. And in wanting it, you have to take steps to position yourself to know him. Amen. It says, verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Here it says, we're doors and gates. We determine what can come into the earth. We determine what has to leave. You have that authority. Amen. Well, because of our mouths, how can I say that's the door on the hinges? swing. I think they call this back here in your jaw a hinge, isn't it? A hinge joint. I don't know.
Makes sense.
Some people are like ventriloquist dummies. The devil's just pulling the string. Yeah. But if you'll get in the Word, let the Word renew your mind and know the Holy Spirit, God will lead you what to say of a free will. And you determine what happens in the earth. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and ye be ye lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. God wants to spend time with you. I'm gonna state it another way. What's your favorite thing to do in the world? What's your favorite thing?
Watch YouTube.
Huh?
Watch YouTube and all the...
Watching YouTube, following what's going on. You know, some people say, I just love the golf, I love the fish. You know, I love this TV show. You know what God's favorite thing is? His favorite thing in all of creation. Spending time with us. It's his favorite thing, and he's looking for people to say, that's what my favorite thing is, spending time with you, God. It is for me. We can get distracted, can't we? And of course, we have things to do. But if you'll learn, you can invite God into what you're doing and spend time with him all the day. Just invite him in, right? And so we're those that seek his face to know him. It's a special generation. Most of Christianity today, worldwide, most of it, that means more than 50%, and I would say it's probably more than 80%, does not know they can actually live in the Spirit and spend time with God all the time. In fact, I would say that's less than 5% know that. And I would say less than 20% know they can even hear God. And if you're going to know him face to face, you know his slightest whisper. You know his, how can I say, roadblocks that rise up within. Do this, don't do that. And you'll know his approval of what you're doing and his disapproval. If you're doing the wrong thing. Thank you, Jesus, for that ability to know you. Amen. Now to go to Isaiah chapter 55. Let's take this another step. Isaiah 55. Let's look at verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. God's going to reach out to nations beside just Israel. Amen. He's calling nations that don't even know him to come alongside of him. But look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, kind of a question we have to ask. Seek the Lord while he might be found. Can't you find him anytime? I don't know. I think there's sometimes people, in fact, if you look at the next verse, it's talking about the wicked forsake their way. There may be times you get caught up in some of this wickedness. It takes you some effort to find God. I know this. If you develop a lifestyle of prayer, praying in tongues, calling upon God, being in the Word, you can open the book and there's God. You can say Jesus and his presence will come in. But also know that if you get weary in seeking him or lackadaisical, distracted, and you try to go in to seek him, sometimes there's some catching up to do.
Yes.
You've lost some spiritual momentum. I don't know why it's like that, but I've heard people talk about it. I've experienced it. That it's not just, okay, God, I'll ignore you for a month, and then, okay, God, and he shows up. Amen. Any more than if I ignore my wife for a month and say, hey, babe, how are you today? What's a dial tone sound like when they hang up? Click. We want to be sure we maintain effort and pursuit of God as much as possible, a consistent effort. Now, again, he knows when things happen and you're caught up in other things. He'll be right there. He's looking for people that are really serious about seeking his face. They're serious about walking with him. It'll make it a priority to develop themselves spiritually. Now, as well, there's times God's easier to tap into it than others.
Yes.
For example, at church, tonight, we come together and corporately worship. Don't get left out. He can be found right then. I mean, when the corporate anointing comes in and you're going, oh, wow. It's a good time to start talking to God. Amen. You're seeking him while he can be found versus, you know, so many people there in church on device when the anointing's all around them and not dialed into what God's saying, what he's doing, what he wants to speak to them. We're caught up in checking. I'm going to say election results in case you're doing that right now. But checking other stuff. God says, no. When I'm close, when I'm there, dial into my wavelength. I'm trying to think of some good examples. When I was growing up, we didn't have any cable TV, didn't have any satellite. And on my grandfather's farm, he was 40 miles from the nearest TV station. And all he had back then, this is back in the 50s and 60s, all he had was an antenna bolted inside the house. And somebody had to go out there and turn all the time, unless you were wealthy and had a rotor that was spin on its own. And somebody would be turning the antenna, trying to get the signal in.
Yes.
He got one channel, channel 13, on a 13-inch TV. Channel 13 on the 13-inch TV, Friday the 13th. No. What's that? That's when you're, is that right? And the channel he got was half snow.
Yeah.
High def. It was like trying to get an image out of the def. We'd gather around that TV as a family and watch Rawhide and Gunsmoke and all these other stuff and love it.
Yeah.
But one channel, and sometimes you had to turn the antenna just to get it just right, because he was so far from the signal. When I lived on the farm, we were quite a ways from most of the radio stations. You turn on radio now, you can get about 500 channels. Right, not to mention satellite channels. At night, we got about 2 or 3 channels. We get the local FM, nobody had FM back then. It was all AM. And we got our local radio channel, which was pretty crummy. Unless you want to hear the stock market, not the stock, the real stock, the
farm.
Livestock report.
Yeah, farm report.
Or we got WLS.
WLS.
John Rickers Linedecker. Remember that?
Yeah.
Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Top 40. Yeah. We would get that. And sometimes we would get WLS out of Louisville. No. WLS is Nashville. What's in Louisville?
WLKY.
Huh?
WLKY.
No, it wasn't TV, it was radio.
Oh.
There's a radio station out of it. But we could get in if you got the weather just right.
Yes.
Because we were so far out in the boonies from the transmitters.
Yeah.
But you get close to the transmitter, you can get all kinds of channels. And God's saying, draw near to me so you can hear clearly. Draw near to me so all the static goes away. Draw near to me while I can be found so we can commune face to face. And it's vital that we as end time revivalists look for the opportunities. He's close.
Yeah.
And if he's not, make them. Make her an opportunity. Do you know you can do that anytime you want?
Yes.
You can be at home, stuff going on, put the praise music on. And just get the praise music going and get to singing with it or meditating with it, praising out of your heart. And sure come the Spirit of God into the house.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know how few Christians really do that? But it's a form of getting God close so you can seek Him. How many know when His presence shows up, it's a whole lot easier to hear from Him? Take steps to get Him close. Colossians chapter 3. What an awesome God that would make this available to us. This actually boggles my mind. The God of all creation, the God of all that exists, wants to know me, wants to spend time with me. Knowing all my faults of the past, knowing my faults of this morning. I didn't catch myself this morning, though. What did I do? I was walking along here. He stubbed my toe, so I dropped something on my foot. These have no, it's like a piece of cloth over the top of my toes. And I went, dang it. I didn't say the other one. The God of all creation wants to spend time with me. He wants to spend time with you. And it's His favorite thing. Think about it just for a minute. Is this okay if I ramble for just a minute on this? Thank you for that permission. I feel approved now. Think about something that you used to love to do. Maybe still do. When I was hooked on fishing, which was from the time I was probably 5 or 6 years old up, I mean, I was fishing at a very young age, 5 years old ago. I collected magazines about fishing. I had a toolbox that I went and got lures for. I made my own lures. I studied about fishing everywhere we drive. As a kid, I'm out looking out the window. Oh, I'd love to fish that. I thought about it all the time. And it became my favorite thing to do. That I spent all my time planning, preparing, that when I got the opportunity, it was heaven to me. Even though I didn't catch anything, I got to go fishing. Loved it. My mom will attest to that. She was a fishing widow for part of the time. I'd go in for a weekend, go handle slimy fish. Just
all you'd ask for Christmas was fishing lures and everything fishing.
Long time ago. I've been set free. I could care if I ever fished again. But here's the thing. All this preparation I did, studying, collecting, gathering, planning, and then getting to do was my highlight. Same thing with other things that some people do. My son-in-law's in the golf right now. He's not very good at it yet, but he loves it. He's reading about it. He's getting the more expensive stuff. He's got the equipment, you know, rangefinders, all this stuff. You know what I found when I use a rangefinder? It does me no good. It's not like I'm going to get the hole anyway. I'm just trying to get to go the right direction. How far? Just direction is a success for me. But he's doing all this, and his favorite thing to do pretty much right now is go golfing. My favorite thing to do right now is work on this church. Can I get a witness? I guess I'm only one. Just think about God. He got ready to create a universe. You wonder where I was going, didn't you? He already created a universe. He said, I'm going to make a planet, solar system, these trillions of stars out there. I'm going to make all this, and I'm going to make all this livestock on earth, these plants, all this paradise. But my highlight I'm going to make is this man. And I'll make him a woman to help him, because I love him so much, I want him to be totally contented. I'm going to make those. That's going to be the crowning lure in my tackle box, or my favorite, you know, driver in my golf bag, or whatever it might be. For me, my favorite spice is cumin. So anything I make probably gets cumin in it. And God's doing all his preparations. I'm going to make man. His favorite thing to do is now to spend time with the focal point of creation. You see the parallel. The thing you love to do most, that you plan for, you can't wait to do, whether it's a vacation, whatever it might be. God birthed those type of feelings within you out of himself. He wants us to know his favorite thing to do is to fish with us, golf with us, cook with us. You follow me? Spend time face to face with us. I sure don't want to disappoint him. How about you? Colossians chapter 3. Are you there?
Yep.
Let's start reading verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you?
Yes.
If you're born again, you're risen with Christ. He died and rose from the dead. You died and rose through his sacrifice. Amen. You're risen with him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. If you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. And here's two words I want you to see. Seek and set. Seek means you pursue, and set means you lock on to. Thinking of some of the military movies, where maybe there's a fighter jets in a battle, and they're seeking to lock on a radar, and it's bouncing all around.
Yeah.
But when it clicks, beep, 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 it's locked on. Seek and set. Seek and set. It says, we're to seek those things which are above. In other words, we're to pursue living out of the kingdom. Living in the glory. Think about what's above. You know what's above? No sickness. You know what's above? No lack. No fear. No anxiety. Including stress. No oppression. And especially, there's no strife in heaven. There's no bone bickering over the wall covering or the carpet covers of the throne of God in heaven. Throne room of God. I mean, can you imagine walking to God's throne room? Who picked out these colors? And yesterday, I didn't offer for opinions, so I made some quality decisions myself with Frosty's help. Frosty was asking me, do we have any paint? I went down and I probably found 20 gallons of paint. And I found gray and I found orange. And I thought, especially gray. So I thought, I'm going to add a bunch of white to the orange and make light orange. And I'll add a bunch of white to the gray and make light gray. And I thought, I'll paint these two offices gray and my office will be orange. Got it all mixed up. Like 5 gallons of the gray and probably two or three of the orange. And I'm asking Frosty, I brought him some samples, what do you think? He goes, you can have that orange if you want to, but it looks like pink to me. I said, that's it. Never mind. Office will be gray. We decided it was peach. And I'm not having a peach office. And so all three offices will be gray, light gray. Praise you, Jesus. So if you need any peach paint, let me know. We have some available. May find out if we can paint peach, right? But the banner hanger is kind of a darker peach. Seek the things that are, I'm trying to remember where I was at. I'm talking about in heaven, there's no strife, no bickering, no jealousy. He says, seek that now. Seek to be sickness free, lack free, oppression free, fear free. Seek it. Find it in the scriptures and set your heart that that belongs to me. 1987, my pastor was preaching. Came in, Pastor Kellen came to Lexington. I just joined the church. Started teaching about faith and about how we don't have to be sick. I said, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I've been a Christian now 3 years. I think I know some things. And they taught me in the past, God put sickness on you to teach you a lesson. How many ever heard that before? That's what they told me in church. Sickness is God just, you know, correcting you. And Pastor Kelly says, God never wants you sick. He said he wants you healed of everything. Every time, all the time. Right? And I don't know about that. So I determined to seek. And I've shared this many times. I went home and got my doorstop combination concordance. You know, I'm talking about the big concordance, the thick one. I had one. I'm spiritual. I had a concordance. I looked up every verse of scripture that dealt with healing. Healing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had a spiral bound notebook. I still have it somewhere. And I wrote down every verse of the Bible that dealt with that. I would take time to look them up every time, so I'd short them all down. Pages and pages of healing scriptures. And started reading them, studying them. And it probably took a couple weeks, if I remember right. I finally came to a conclusion. He was telling me the truth. God's covenant that he's made with me says, I'm healed. Yeah. Jesus took stripes so I could be made whole. And so I sought it. When I saw it, I set my heart on it. I didn't have it then. I was still getting sick as much as anybody. I didn't have it, but I saw it. I sought the truth on it. I saw it, and then I started meditating the verses on it. For years, speaking it over my life. By his stripes, I'm healed. And you've heard some of the testimonies. I went through some battles. But I went for 18 years. So, no. 28 years. 27 years without the flu. Without hardly ever getting any symptoms. Maybe a runny nose now and then. Because I saw, and then I said, you got to be determined to go after the promises of God. They're not automatic. You can have a revelation that it belongs to you, but not have faith in it. See, when I first saw it, I had a hope for it. I had mental ascension. In other words, my mind locked onto it that was available, but it wasn't faith in my heart yet.
Right. Amen.
I had to work the word over time, take the seed of the word and produce a harvest of faith out of it. That I could speak and actually believe what happened. And of course, you heard the testimonies about being free of migraines, bad back, you know, later raising the dead. Out of that original seeking and setting. You know, the main things we can seek and set our heart on is to know God.
Amen.
In fact, now for me, it's the number one. You gave me the option of being sick versus knowing God. I'll choose knowing God. Moses said this, Lord God, you've given us a promised land, but if you don't go with us, I'm not going. Either your presence goes with us, or we don't go. The promise is not sufficient. That's the hand. We've got a hunger to seek the face, the relationship. Out of the hand, you can get blessed. Out of the hand of God, you can get healed. Out of the hand of God, you can get prosperous. Out of the hand of God, you can get the devils out of your life. I know, because I was first saved, that happened. Demons were cast out of me right away. I mean, spiritual strongholds were gone. But I didn't know Him yet. You can have all the promises that are represented by the hand, but your number one heart's got to become the face, which is not just providing for you, it's knowing Him. The very thing God made you for. God didn't make you just to have a people He could bless. Like little, you know, toy soldiers. He's moving around, and puppets He can just wiggle. And you know, when I was a kid, a big deal for us was army men. You ever have any army men? I had whole groups of them. I mean, I had hundreds of them. I bought collections of them from other guys. And I'd set up, and I had the tanks and the pill boxes. And I'd paint myself with my model paint. I did. I sold it all to some neighbor. I had it all set up, and I could knock something down. I could shoot holes, and guess what? The Americans always won. I had German soldiers too, you know. And the Americans always won, because I'm controlling the whole thing. And God's not after that kind of relationship, or that kind of entertainment. And for a church that just wants to see His hand, oh God bless me, but they don't want to know Him, it's almost relegating God to a bunch of plastic army soldiers. When He made us that relationship with Him. He made us in His image, after His likeness. And the first thing we see Him interacting with Adam was, you don't see God saying, Adam, give me all this stuff. He says, and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Praise You, Jesus. Would You give Him a lot? He gave Him authority, seat, and all this stuff. And I follow. God was after the relationship. What I'm teaching you tonight may sound obvious, may sound simple. It may seem that I'm overemphasizing it. But what you're hearing tonight, most Christians never hear. You Chinese went to sleep on me right there. I don't believe most Christians ever hear this message. We're the generation to see His face. 2 Kings 13, are you still with me?
Yes.
Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Pastor Callahan's favorite verse from the time I knew Him. It's Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. We don't understand. What do you mean that I may know Him? You're born again? You pray? But he had a better, deeper revelation than we did at the time. He said, I can actually spend time with God and know Him. It was beyond our understanding at the time. We're still after the hand. After the gifts. We want to walk in the gifts. We want to represent You, God. We want to walk in the power. Well, praise God for the gifts and the power. But at the time, we thought that was the highest level of pursuit. God said, no, that's all hand. I'm after You looking for the face. I mean, Paul wrote, seek earnestly the best gifts. Pursue the gifts. And then seek those things above. But yearn to know our Savior, our Creator. I told you to turn to 2 Kings, didn't I?
Yes.
13. It is. How did you know that?
You just said it.
Oh, did it? I thought you were hearing the Spirit. I thought you were hearing God. Praise God. Let's go to verse 14. Now Elisha was a great prophet, was fallen sick of his sickness wherever he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. I have no idea what he's talking about there. But he's weeping over Elisha. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. That was one of Israel's great enemies. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. In other words, Elisha says, you're gonna whoop the Syrians. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. That means three times. And stayed. He stopped. And the man of God was wroth and angry with him and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till they've consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice, three times. And Elisha died. Now, I don't know what the key number is between three times versus five or six. You follow me? Where's the saying thing about you got to beat arrows so many times? Amen. But Elisha said, Take the arrows and beat them on the ground. And most, what's the word I want? Commentators. Pascal always called them commentators. Common potatoes. They believe when he took the arrows, he half-heartedly beat them. And Elisha said, You should have beaten those arrows to pieces. I don't know if there's any key in five or six times, but three evidently was not enough. And Elisha expected the king to be sensitive enough to know that's not enough.
What's the battles?
What's that?
I mean, battles, he wouldn't have beat him in or something?
Well, yeah, he said, because you only hit him three times, you only win three battles against him. Versus totally consuming them. So I believe the plan was for the king to shatter the arrows on the ground, hit them so hard that you destroy them. But instead, he just kind of... He probably wanted to save arrows. I would turn them good arrows. These are the king's arrows. And it gives us a picture of half-heartedly believing God and His promise. God hates lukewarm. You told the Laodicean in church, you think you're rich, you think you're increased goods, but you're neither hot or cold, you're just lukewarm. I wish you were one or the other, be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Because lukewarm thinks it's okay. And the king hitting the arrows on the ground thought it was just okay. God said, No, I need somebody sold out. Sold out the whole route without a doubt. Makes you want to shout. Don't pout. We need sauerkraut. It's hard to stop when you get on a roll. In our pursuing God's face, we should be serious about it. I think one of the most valuable things you can do is just say, God, I'm going to spend an hour with you, a morning or afternoon with you, a day with you, and go get in your chair, get the distractions out of your way, put down all your things to do list, open your Bible and say, God, me and you to spend time together. And I believe God loves that. And He'll show up for that. Amen?
Amen.
He'll visit you in that. And He'll show you His face in that. Another thing you can do is pray in tongues. Now, we're about to get these offices ready. I expect in about 2 weeks these offices will be ready. And when they're ready, all my prayer begins again. Does that make you happy, Shana?
Yep. I miss it.
I do too. I'm looking forward to it. I know God's going to show up. Amen. Why? Because it's beating arrows more than just what's convenient.
Yeah.
God's looking for people. We'll take seriously the opportunity to know Him. So praying in tongues. Praying in spirit. You're sowing heavenly seed that will come back as revelation from heaven. What greater revelation can come from heaven but knowing God? God will speak to you out of praying in the spirit. More than just Shonda, Shonda, time, I will tie. But spending some time really pursuing, pressing in. You'll fight every, do you know praying in tongues, you will fight every devil in hell? Trying to do it. You already said that. You made that up. That don't mean nothing. You memorize your prayer language. What?
Yes.
Pray in the spirit. Amen. Amen. Watch what God does. And of course, one thing I do when I pray in the spirit, I usually have my phone, notepad, or a pad and paper handy to write down all the stuff the devil tells me I need to do. Because all of a sudden, praying in tongues is such a low priority. He tells me everything in the house needs to be fixed. So it helps me out. It makes my list. There we go. Okay. When I'm done praying, I can get to all this. Thanks for reminding me. Amen. In fact, the devil will remind you about stuff you need to do almost as much as your wife will. There's a honey-do list and a devil-do list. Sometimes they cross over. The list. No. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Just to quote this verse. No, we'll get to it next week. We're going to stop there for tonight. Any thoughts, questions, or comments?
Praise
out
first.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be your people of the end times that know you, that carry your glory. And I declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none in lack, none oppressed, none in fear, none in strife. Oh, glory to God. No lack whatsoever. We thank you for divine encounters, divine appointments all week. And you fill our mouth with the right things to say at every opportunity we get. In Jesus' name.
Amen.